Today's daf in Masechet Kedushin brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is daf Mem Chet. And we've been right in the middle of the Gemara's attempt to, at least to pretend that we think we've got a machlokas over here about whether HaMekadesh B'Milva Mekodesh is or not, which was a kasha on Rav. I mean, if it's a machlokas, Tanoim, then Rav wouldn't have said it as his own din, right? And in doing so, we end up discovering all types of other issues that we never would have thought of that have to do with the question of elements of ownership or smichas das or what the das was on in the first place in a transaction. So we got up to, we went through yesterday the machlokes about maimat shloshtan, and we got up to neima ketanoi about one third of the way down, and we're trying this again. So let's pretend that we've got another machlokes tanoim. Is there a halacha of Mekadesh B'Milva Mekodesh, Tereinu Mekodesh, that if that's a machlokas between the Tanoim, then obviously we've got a problem for Rav, because how would he have just said Mekadesh B'Milva Enu Mekodesh? He would have said, well, halacha is like this, Tanoi, that Tanoi. So name a Ketanoi. Here we've got a price like this. A guy says to this woman, be Mekodesh to be with this star. Now, we have no idea what the shtar is, right? We're assuming that the shtar is like the case we had before. It's a bond, all right? So Rabbi Meir says, Eina Mekudeshes. Rabbi Elazar says, Mekudeshes. And the Chachomim say, well, take a look at how much the paper of the shtar is worth, because that's all you're going to be giving her. Im yesh bar shava pruta Mekudeshet, vim lav Eina Mekudeshet. So we're assuming this is a shtar chov. Okay, but let's make sure we know what we're talking about, right? Har shtar hechidami. What type of shtar is this? I mean, is it a shtar chov like we had before? It could be a shtar that a third party owes him money, or it could be a shtar that she owes him money. Same question that we talked about yesterday. So if that's the case, then if it's talking about a shtar chov d'acherim, that would be a big problem. Because then Rabbi Meir just contradicted himself, right? Because right here he's saying, no, you can't give over a shtar and still be Mekadesher. And yesterday he said, yes, it's perfectly good shtar. It's perfectly good condition to give over a shtar. I mean, look, obviously we could have made the difference in any of the issues. Maybe one of them had a proper transference, like Rav Papa, one of them didn't have a proper transference. But Tosfos says, I mean, look, if there are really two brises saying the exact same words about the same case, and Rabbi Meir one says Mekodesh, and so the other one says Eina Mekodesh, you can't just say we're talking about. I mean, it would have been some indication in the brisa. So no. So that doesn't make sense. And we come up with a contradiction. Can't be talking about that. Okay, so in this case, the Braita has got to be talking about that the woman that he wants to marry owed money to him. And now he is giving her over that shtar, and he's saying, be Mekudeshet to me with that shtar. Ha, 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 what is that? That is giving her a loan that she owed him and being Mekadesher with the loan. So we see big machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar about whether Mekadesh B'Milva Mekudeshet or not. Ha, ha. Well, what are you talking about? It says a shtar. It didn't say shtar chov. Notice in the previous braita, what did it say? Mekadesh b'shtar chov. You know what a shtar is? Maybe if you learn Maseches Kedushin, you'll remember that there's such a thing as Mekadesh b'shtar. You know? Harayat mekudeshet li, that you wrote in a shtar. That's what we're talking about. So what's the machlokas? It was Mekadesh b'shtar chov. A shtar, if we're talking about a shtar erison? Yes, but it wasn't signed. It was given over in front of Edei Mesira. And remember, that's that big machlokas. This is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. Now, that should hit you right there, smack bang between your eyes. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, wait a minute. Hey, that was the big machlokas back in Gittin. Edei Mesira karte, Edei Chatime so that's what we're talking about, exactly. So what happened over here is that there were no witnesses. Rabbi Meir goes according to his own shita. We are all through Maseches Gittin. He says it's always the Edim that are signed that are the main power of the thing. And that's why he said by Gittin, the Edim have to sign Lishma because that's the main point of the get. And therefore, since over here, There are no witnesses. So how would this be a good condition? Rebbe Lazar is going according to his shita that we went through the whole Maseches Gittin, and that is that Eide Mesira Karte, and you gave it over in front of witnesses. Why would you need witnesses to actually sign? So what did the Rabbanan say? Well, let's see how much paper value there is. They are mesupik, whether the machlokas is like Rebbe Meir, or the machlokas is like Rebbe Elazar. So they can't tell you for sure that you've got a kedushin. But what they say is, but if there's lamaisa, a pruta in the paper value, so then you know you've got a kedushin. If not, then you're mesupik. So im yesh boshav a pruta mekudeshet. These next words, im lav ena mekudeshet, is not true, as Rashi points out. Because im lav, it's a suffix, not ena mekudeshet. So therefore, Rashi says, no, no, we don't have that. It just is im yesh rava pruta mekudeshet, period. Okay. You want me to give you another explanation? Oh, come on, man. I can give you any number of explanations. Here, let me give you another explanation. All right. Iba Yisema. He wrote the shtar with witnesses, but he wrote it shelo lishma. What? Yeah, if you wrote a get shelo lishma, would it be kosher? No. So over here, he wrote Ishtar hare at mekudeshet li, but it wasn't written for this woman. So is that kosher or not? Oh, that's a whole different issue. Okay, that is basically a machlokas in the din that Rish Lakish taught us, which we talked about already before. So the boy Rish Lakish, Shtar Erison, Shekatavosh lo lishma. You write hare at mekudeshet li, but it was not for the sake of this particular woman. Is that kosher or not? What's the question? Again, we've seen all this before. Do we say, says Rish Lakish, well, remember V'yotza V'haisa, good old Rish Lakish's chat about K'tzava K'kruchya, V'yotza V'haisa, V'yotza V'haisa. Okay, so maybe that's enough of a reason to say that it must be done Lishma, just like Yitzia of a get has to be written for this particular woman, so to Havaya of Kiddushin needs to be written for this specific woman. Or do we say, well, more fundamental than comparing V'yotza to V'haisa is the comparison of the various modalities of V'haisa. Because the Torah talks about V'haisa, and it doesn't matter what the V'haisa is done with. Kesef, Shtar, or Bia, it's all called V'haisa, right? Okay, if I give you money, did I need to mint the money for you? Does it have to say, I love you on the money? Like, what? No, I give you any old money, so it's not Lishma. Okay, so then that would mean that the shtar is also not lishma. I mean, isn't that a more fundamental comparison than v'yatza v'haita? So maybe that's the main thing we should look at. Havayot lahadadi makshinan. It's most likely that all the havayot are the same. And just like havayat kesev lo bina lishma, we certainly don't need to mint a special coin with a picture of my love on it and so on, right? Okay, so av havayat shtar lo bina lishma. They're all the same. After Rish Lakish raised the issue, he went back to his old way of thinking. V'yatza v'haisa, that's the most important thing. And therefore, makish havaya liyatzia, and that would be, you need to have lishma. And therefore, Rabbi Meir holds of Rish Lakish. And over here, since it was not written lishma, no kedushin in this case. Whereas Rebbe Lazar doesn't know the Rish Lakish, and therefore he holds that it's perfectly kosher. How do you like that? Want me to give you another shot? No problem. I'll give you another shot. Ibaizema, let's read the Braita like this. Dekulei Alma, everybody holds a Rish Lakish, okay? It has to be written Lishma. It was written Lishma, but it was written without telling her that you are all planned about marrying her. Remember, we called this the Marriage Game TV thing. At what point did they make up their mind? Barnea is trying to give me that poisonous stuff again, that filtered hydrogen dioxide, whatever they got over there. Or was it dihydrogen oxide? I don't know what he's got in there. But in any event, I noticed that Gavi seemed to have been drinking some of that today and did not have any Gavi bait available. Okay. Excellent. All right, we're waiting until he gets really thirsty, you know. Okay, so now there's another issue. If she didn't know about it, what happens there? Here, let me just transfer this to you, Barnea. Here, I'll give you some of the good stuff. Watch this. There we go. You got it?
Very nice. Well done.
Well done.
That this is from the mountain aquifer of the Upper Galil. So, you know, a little...
Is it indeed? I thought that was the artificial one.
No.
Were they there?
The aquifer, which is in the Galil Helio.
I see. Okay, so then it's magic water. Okay, so the question over here is, does she have to know? And what would that be dependent on her? Biplukta de Rava Ravina, and that was the big machlokas that we had between Rava and Ravina, and Rav Papa and Rav Shravia, and that was the Itmar. If someone wrote a Shtar Kiddushin, Katvo L'Shma, but Shalom Idata, so Rav and Ravina say, Mikudashis, you don't need for her to know about it before, while he was writing it, whereas Rav Papa and Rav Shravia, no, ain't a Mikudashis, because look, when you write a get, it has to be written with the das of the Baal, who's going to be makna, the isha, her rishus. And therefore, without that, if you wrote up the get without his knowledge, even if it was written lishma, you can't tell him, okay, here's a good get for you afterwards, right? That was fundamental to Maseches Gittin. So therefore, if you're writing up the same shtar in the inverse, then you would need to have the das of the isha, because she's the one that's the das makna. That's the question. Okay, therefore, Rabbi Meir would go according to Rav Papa and Rav Sharvia, and therefore he said, "Over here, ain't a Mekudeshes." Rav Elazar held by Rav and Ravina, and therefore he says, "It's Mekudeshes." Fine. All right, good. We got through that one. I got another case where it looks like we got a Machlokas Tanoim about Rav. Haha! Look at this. Name a Kahani Tanoim. Apparently, there's another Machlokas about whether Mekadesh B'milva Mekudeshet or not. Okay. Here's a case. A woman has some gold. She's got this old gold, all this stuff. She wants it melted down and turned into some beautiful shirim, nizamim, tabaot shirim, or the ankle bracelets, or earrings, or nose rings, or hand rings, whatever. And she says to him, listen, I'll tell you what. I know this work is very expensive, and you do the work, and I will be mekudeshet to you with the beautiful jewelry that you're going to make out of my gold. Ah. So then, once he makes her these beautiful things, she's Mekudesh. So says Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim say, no, she's not Mekudesh until you get money in her hand. Now, when you say money in her hand, I mean, what do you mean? You mean until you give her the gold back? I mean, that's ridiculous. Then what would you be saying? That the Tana Kama holds, even if you don't give her the gold back? She's Mekudesh? I sincerely doubt it. Okay, so that can't be the case. So what it must mean is that we're talking about other money, right? So in other words, they're saying that giving it back as beautiful jewelry is not going to create the Kiddushin. Masha Einkein, the Tana Kama, says, sure it will. As soon as she gets her gold back that is now in the shape of this fancy jewelry, then that would mean that the machlokas is about Mekadesh B'milva, haha, right? Because basically, if, according to Rabbi Meir, when he forgives the money that she owes him, what does she owe him for working, right? That's a loan, okay? She owes him money, and he says, you don't have to pay me. You just be my wife. That's a Mekadesh B'milva. And they're saying Mekadesh B'milva is kosher. Unbelievable, exactly against what Rav says. So therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, that's fine. Mashenkin, according to Chachomim, no, you got to give her money, they say. You have to give her other cash. Why? Because this is a milva. And a milva is not something that is extant. So what are the assumptions? And the reason we're talking about the assumptions is because we can question any one of those assumptions and then have an alternative. But then that would give us an insight into what constitutes money for Kiddushin, which is why we're bringing up the whole thing. So these are the assumptions. Okay, another Gavi rule. To Kuli Alma Savri, so everybody would hold that Yesh Nalis Schirut Mitchila Vatsov. Now, this is a very fundamental question. How does a agreement to pay someone for work done, how does it work? Is it that the person begins the work and the first moment that there is legally valid value, which means a shavar pruta, you owe him that Shavapruta. It doesn't mean he can collect it now. He can only collect it maybe when he finishes the work or whatever the deal was, but it's owed. Next Pruta. Now that Pruta is owed. And this continues, the loan continues to grow with each new thing that he does. And then at the end, he's coming to you to collect the loan. So everybody holds that that's the way it is. It's all a loan. Vavi milva. So at the moment that he finishes his work, it boils down to her owing money for the loan of all of the value that has been accruing in that loan. So then what are they arguing in? So Rebbe Meir must hold a mekadesh b'milva mekudeshet, and the Chachamim hold mekadesh b'milva mekudeshet. Perfect. But then that's a problem to Rav, because Rav should have said, halacha k'Rebbe Meir. Instead, he sticks himself into this as if it's his determination that a mekadesh b'milva ain't a mekudeshet. That's not true according to Rebbe Meir. Answers the Gemara, let me provide you with some interesting alternatives, okay? Maybe, everybody agrees that Mekadesh B'milva ain't a Mekudeshes. And the Machloket itself is about Yeshna L'Skirat Mitchila V'Atsuf. So Rabbi Meir holds, you don't have a loan. When a person finishes the job, then he's owed for the job, which means that there is no loan. There's money that is currently here. Mar Sava, Yeshna L'Skirat Mitchila V'Atsuf. Vashenkin, the Rabbanan say, no, it's a loan, because you were paying him the whole time. So according to Rabbi Meir, there is no milva. He has not yet gotten any money until he gives you that ring or whatever he made for you back, and he is therefore at that moment giving her a tremendous hana'ah by giving her the ring and allowing her to keep all of the work that he put into it. It has nothing to do with the money. There was no money. He's giving her the work. Is that worth money? You're darn right it is. And therefore, she's a Mekudeshet. How do you like that approach? Want me to give you another approach? Let's take this approach. Ebay said, let me give you another approach, okay? Everybody holds Yeshua Skirz V'Tchil V'Tzov. It's a loan. Everybody holds Mekadesh B'Milva Ein Mekudeshet. Just like Rav says. What? So what are they arguing on? Oh, another brilliant Gavi idea. Uman kone b'shevach kli. That's the question. Is there such a thing as a mechanic's lien? That's the idea. You bring in your car to fix. Now, you've made an agreement that you are going to fix this engine. I agree to pay you so much for fixing the engine. I do not agree to pay you so much per hour of work, although some places pretend that that's what's happening. All right. But assuming that you make a deal, I'm going to pay you, turn this gold into rings for X amount of money. Okay, that is a kablan. It's not schirut. I'm not paying you by the hour. I made a deal with you on a delivered product. That's called kablanut. Now, the question is, when that kablan presents that product to you, is he presenting you with money that you owe him for his work? Or was he actually gaining a lien and actual ownership on your car with what he did? You brought in a car with a broken engine. I replaced the engine on the car. It's now my car. Partially. 20% of it is my car. You want your car back? Pay me. That's the concept of a mechanic's lien to the bitter end, right? It's literally my car. Okay, if it's his car, then in this case, it's his rings. That is to say, 20% of it is his rings. So if he's presenting her with the money that he has in this ring, that has nothing to do with Mekadesh B'Milva. And that's the Machlokas. He is not Schirut. He's not a common laborer. He's over here a craftsman. And that's called Uman. And therefore, the question is, Mar Sever B'Meir holds, it's his ring. And Uman Kone B'Sheva Kelly, and therefore he's giving you his ring, or whatever percentage he owns in the ring. Whereas the Chachamim hold, no, Ein Uman Kone B'Sheva Kli, and he doesn't have anything other than a common laborer, which is therefore alone. because Sefirot Mishtalemet mitchila va'atzof. You like that pshat? You don't? I'll give you another pshat. Here's another pshat. V'bay zema. Maybe everybody holds. There's no such thing as a mechanic's ring. T'kulei alma einu man koneh b'shevach kli. And the kulei alma yesh lo sefirot va'atchila va'atzof, and therefore it's a long. And everybody agrees mekadesh b'milva einim mekudeshes, okay? And we've got another issue. The other issue is that when she brought him the gold in for baking a nice ring, he added an amethyst. Oh. So now when he brings her the pretty ring, it's also got an amethyst in it. Now, you didn't give me the amethyst, okay? I'm giving you the amethyst. So she said, okay, come off it. Man, an amethyst is worth like $5. I mean, you know, like what? I gave you $3,000 worth of gold. Ah. So that's the machlokas. So he added her a little bit of his own, maybe a little bit of extra gold, maybe a little amethyst. That's fine. So now, actually, the nofech is the name of an actual gemstone, right? Nofech sapir, that's on the actual choshen. Okay. So he gave her an actual nofech. Could be nofech that he added extra gold, or nofech, an actual stone. And Rebbe Meir holds, okay, so that means that he's giving her a milva, the work, plus the amethyst. What is her das? It's milva upruta. Rebbe Meir says, she is thinking about the amethyst. She's not thinking about the money in the milva, because that she views, she understands that is not present. It's a theory to her. Whereas the Chachamim hold, no, she's thinking about the whole thing. But then that means that she is only giving herself over to him based on a milva, not on an amethyst. There you go. Another machlokas. Do we know that there is a machlokas like that? Yes. Beplukta dahani tanoi. We know that there is such a machlokas because listen to this brayta. A guy says to a woman, this guy is a gold worker, right? So he says, be mukudesha to me for all the work that I put into this. In a Mekudesha. But if he says, because again, this is Milva, we said everybody is agreeing, and Mekadesh Milva in a Mekudesha, and Yeshua Skiris Mekudesha, so fine. But what if he says, I am going to do this work for you, and be Mekudesha to me in return for that work that I will be doing for you? So then, if he holds that it's in terms of Skirut and Eina Leskiris Ela Lebesov, so then that means that he's not giving up on a milva. Then it would be Mekudesha. Rabbi Nosson says, nach, even that case, Pescharsha Esemach is Eina Mekudesha because Yeshua Sirs Mitchila Vatsov. Kol Shekain in the other case, I already did it. I mean, then there's not, that for sure, that was money that she owed. And that for sure is a loan. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer, look, absolutely the din is Be'emet Amru. It makes no difference whether you say what I already did or what I will do. She is not Mekudeshet, but if he adds a little bit of an amethyst of her own, then she is Mekudeshet. So what are they arguing in? So the Tanakhama is arguing on Rabbi Nosson about whether Sfiras is Mishtalemes Besof or Sfiras is Mitchila Batsof. And Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi are arguing, because obviously it's only Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi who holds if he adds the amethyst that it's a good Kiddush. And Nosson holds even that's not. What are they arguing in? About Mar Sofar, Milva Pruta Daita Milva, Umar Sofar Daita Pruta, and that is precisely what the Machlokas would be here between Rabbi Meir and the Tanakhama in the last way that we've extended. Okay, so now we understand all kinds of brilliant new issues that need to be taken into consideration about the nature of ownership, the nature of her das, the nature of us. Brilliant. It's wonderful. So we've blown our minds in just pretending to look at whether there's a machlokas tanoim about Rav. Meanwhile, we found out all kinds of exciting halachas about what constitutes money that you would be giving over, and therefore our perek has become richer and richer. And there we go. Richie's already thinking about that. And how does that translate into adding a little something to the pizza that she bought? We know what that little something was, don't we, Richie? But we don't talk about it anymore. All right, then. Okay, everybody, you always got surprises in Rich's Pizza. But you better watch out.